Good evening and welcome to the Natural Health and Wellness Hour with Sonia. I want to thank you for joining me this evening, and for those who are listening in for the first time, my name is Sonia Jewell, and I'm a natural therapeutic specialist and massage therapist at the Evergreen Spa and Wellness Center right here in Ely. I have been a health practitioner for 20 years, and it is my pleasure to be with you every Wednesday evening during this hour to talk about various health topics, nutrition, and safe and natural alternatives, as well as healthier lifestyle choices. I welcome your input and feedback about this show and encourage you to contact me personally or the radio station should you have any specific questions, comments, or suggestions regarding this show. Since October is non-GMO month, I would like to devote tonight's show to genetically modified foods, and I would like to explain the dangers these foods pose to our health and environment. The technology I'm referring to allows scientists to genetically manipulate common crops such as corn, cotton, canola, and soybeans by inserting genes into the DNA. GMOs can be engineered with genes from bacteria, viruses, insects, animals, or even humans. The effort has been embraced by some as a way to better feed the world's population that's soaring, but others raise major concerns of this so-called Frankenfood, whose long-term effect on human and environmental health has never been adequately studied. In Europe, genetically modified foods have been rejected over a decade ago on the grounds that they pose potential health and ecological nightmares. Meanwhile, in North America, and increasingly in South America, farmers embrace them, arguing they protect the environment by decreasing pesticide use and making no-till crops where the soil is not plowed possible. And this is supposed to increase water retention and decrease erosion, and at least by some measures, reduces carbon released into the atmosphere. However, I would like to give you the other side of the story, based on scientific findings that there are plenty of reasons to avoid eating genetically modified foods. In fact, after finding out about the health dangers, you'll be ready to pay close attention to the foods you buy and consume. Now, before I go in more detail about today's topic, let's listen to some music from today's feature CD. The CD is titled Waiting for the Moon and is by John Adorney. I hope you will enjoy this song, and I'll be back in a moment with more information for you.
Thank you.
And welcome back to the Natural Health and Wellness Hour with Sonia. Today's topic is genetically modified foods, and October is non-GMO month. Now let me briefly explain what led to this strong initiative to finally eliminate the GMO foods from the US market, whereas in Europe, these foods had already been banned since 1999. That very same year, the biotech industry, at the beginning of the year, was still anticipating that they could replace nature. In fact, their plan was to replace 95% of all commercial seeds to genetically engineered seeds within 5 years by 2004. But a single high-profile GMO food safety scandal erupted in the middle of February of 1999. One of the researchers had been gagged and told that if he talked about his findings, he would be sued. By an order of parliament, his gag order was lifted and he could finally talk about how he discovered that genetically engineered foods were inherently unsafe and could create all sorts of damage from just the process itself, irrespective of what gene you put in. 750 articles were written within a month, and within 10 weeks, virtually every major food company committed to stop using genetically modified ingredients in Europe, because it had become a marketing liability. I also want to point out that they weren't instructed to do that by the government. They were instructed to do that by the consumers at the top of the food chain. Today, I want to urge and inspire you to help get GMOs banned from the US market. As you can see, Europe was able to do it over a decade ago without any government assistance. All they did was educate the consumers, and that was enough pressure on the food industry to drop their ploys. This month, Jeff Smith, who is actually the founder of the Institute for Responsible Technology and also the author of several books such as Genetic Roulette and another book titled Seeds of Deception, he is launching a plan to bring a message to the necessary numbers of peoples to create a tipping point that can effectively drive genetically modified foods off the market. And you can attain more information regarding his books and his foundation by visiting responsibletechnology.org, all one word, or geneticroulette.com for a full presentation on the dangers of GMOs. Nearly 400 retail stores selling natural products around the country are already actively promoting the information about choosing healthier non-GMO products. Because if no one wants to buy them, stores can't sell them and will simply stop ordering them. And food manufacturers will have to adjust and quickly change their ingredients or risk losing their business. It really is that simple. Remember, you as the consumer are still at the top of the food chain. Jeffrey Smith estimates that it would only take 5% of US shoppers to convince the rest to avoid eating genetically modified foods to achieve the same victory in the US. So, changing the shopping habits of about 5.6 million households may be sufficient to eliminate GMOs in the US. It really should not be that difficult, considering that about 28 million Americans buy organic foods on a regular basis, and 87 million Americans think GMOs are seriously unsafe. 150 million Americans, the majority, say they would avoid GMOs if labeled. Unfortunately, no labeling is required, making your commitment to avoid genetically modified foods all that more complicated. But that's where the Institute for Responsible Technology comes in, by raising awareness and educating the consumers. Now, before I will talk about the many dangers genetically modified foods pose to your health and environment, let's take a short break with music, and I'll be back shortly. Thank you. And welcome back to the Natural Health and Wellness Service, Sonia. Tonight's topic is genetically modified foods and the health risks involved. There are four major genetically modified crops. There's corn, soy, cotton, and canola. The majority of acreage for each of these crops is genetically engineered. Herbicide-tolerant varieties of each have the DNA inserted with bacterial genes that allow the crops to survive otherwise deadly doses of herbicides. And this gives farmers more flexibility in controlling weeds and gives the genetically modified seed company lots more profit. When farmers buy genetically modified seeds, they sign a contract to buy only that seed producer's brand of herbicide. Herbicide-tolerant crops comprise about 80% of all genetically modified plants. The other popular trait is found in corn and cotton varieties that are engineered to produce a pesticide in every cell. And their DNA contains a gene from a soil bacterium called Bacillus thuringiensis, or BT for short, which produces a natural insect-killing poison called BT toxin. In addition to these two major types of genetically modified crops, there are also disease-resistant genetically modified zucchini, crookneck squash, and Hawaiian papaya, but these comprise well under 1% of GMO acreage. But if sugar beet growers have their way, they will add genetically modified sugar to our diets in the near future. I want to briefly summarize the dangers of GMOs based on some of the studies. The only human feeding study on GMOs ever conducted showed that genes jumped from genetically modified soy into the DNA of human intestinal bacteria and continued to function. That means that long after you stop eating genetically modified soy, you may still have genetically modified proteins produced continuously inside you. Now think about, what if the pesticide-producing BT gene found in genetically modified corn chips were also to jump? It might transform your intestinal flora into living pesticide factories, possibly for the long term. Another study showed that most offspring of mother rats fed genetically modified soy died within 3 weeks compared to a 10% death rate in the non-GMO soy group. Similarly, when a lab switched to rat feed with genetically modified soy, most of the offspring at the facility died within 2 weeks. Studies with mice also show reproductive problems. Mice fed genetically modified soy had altered sperm cells, and the DNA of the embryos acted differently. Also, hundreds of farm workers complain of allergic reactions when touching genetically modified cotton. And after sheep grazed on genetically modified cotton plants after harvest, 1 in 4 died. About 10,000 deaths in one region in India occurred. And farmers on 3 continents say their livestock became sterile, sick, or died after eating genetically modified corn varieties. Now you wonder how such unsafe food could get past our Food and Drug Administration. It probably wouldn't have if the decision were in the hands of the scientists. Memos made public from a lawsuit reveal that the consensus among FDA scientists in the early 1990s was that GMOs were inherently unsafe and could lead to toxins, allergens, new diseases, and nutritional problems. They urged the superiors to require long-term safety studies before any genetically modified foods were allowed on the market. But the political appointee in charge of FDA policy was the former attorney of the biotech giant Monsanto and later the company's vice president. The scientists' warnings were ignored, and today the FDA does not require a single safety study on genetically modified foods. The FDA is also the agency that decides whether or not genetically modified foods need to be labeled. But the White House told the FDA to promote the biotech industry, so they nixed labels. Therefore, our government ignores the desire of 9 out of 10 Americans who want the labels, just to support the financial interests of 5 biotech seed companies. So basically, folks, we are on our own, and I encourage you to join in on this movement against GMOs initiated by the Institute for Responsible Technology. And now let's take another short break and listen to another song from the CD Waiting for the Moon by John Adorney. And when I come back, I will provide you with tips on how you can make sure that you're avoiding genetically modified products.
Thank you.
and welcome back to the Natural Health and Wellness Service, Sonia. Today's topic is GMOs and genetically modified foods, and I explained in great detail the many dangers these foods pose to our health and environment. October is non-GMO month, and there's a giant movement in the United States to eliminate these foods, which will help protect us, your family members, and your friends from the potential devastating effects. As I mentioned earlier, Europe has long banned these foods from the market, in fact, about 10 years ago. They were able to have GMO foods removed from the market without government intervention by educating a significant percentage of the population. So the food manufacturers voluntarily chose not to stock the shelves in Europe with those foods. The Institute for Responsible Technology has the very same goal by educating consumers about the dangers. In fact, you can go to the following website, non-GMOsShoppingGuide.com or truefoodnow.org, and you can download a pamphlet that you can distribute to your friends, and it will make avoiding GMOs very easy. It really should not be very difficult to get these foods removed from the market because there is a yuck factor associated with GMOs. You ask someone who has never heard of them, what do you think about forcing genes from one species into the DNA of another species and then eating that product? Now, most people will say, I don't want to do it. And most people who don't even know that GMOs are on the market say that if they were labeled, they would avoid it. The problem is that there is no required labeling. But here are some tips on how to avoid genetically modified foods. First of all, buy organic. Organic standards do not allow the use of genetically modified inputs. And I want to also explain that there are three types of organic labels. The first one, the label says 100% organic, and that means that all ingredients are organic. Another label, organic, means that at least 95% of the ingredients are organic, and the other 5%, however, still have to be non-GMO. Now, the label made with organic ingredients, with an ingredient name such as soy, this label means that at least 70% of the ingredients are organic, but the remaining 30% still have to be non-GMO. Now, here you have to be careful. If the term organic is only in the list of ingredients and not found anywhere else on the package, then there is no required overall percentage for organic ingredients in the product, and any non-organic ingredient may be GMO. Now, the good thing about the natural products industry today is the non-GMO project movement. And what happened was, a couple of years ago, the leaders of the natural food industry got together and backed a new standard for making non-GMO claims, and they called it the Non-GMO Project. So now there are thousands of products enrolled in this non-GMO project, and you are going to start to see a little seal on packages, just like the organic seal. You're also going to see something called Non-GMO Project Verified, meaning that the claim that something is non-GMO is now backed by a third-party verified system. Natural health food stores are taking a very strong leadership position to try and push the non-GMO message. And there are several educational tools available, such as a film called Hidden Dangers in Kids' Meals, which is a powerful way for parents to get an initiation into the health dangers. And I will try to get it put on our local Access TV. There's also a video called Your Milk on Drugs, Just Say No. And actually, both of these videos are available free online to look at, so I urge you to use these tools to educate yourself, your kids, and your friends. So instead of feeling like a victim, take action. So you can say, I will decide what I consider food and not have it dictated to me by the biotech industry and the enforcement wing in Washington. It is for me to decide, for my family to decide, and it's the kind of thing where we are taking back our food supply. We can take charge. Being the top of the food chain, we have to realize we have an influence. The more people, the better, because that person you are sending a message to may not be motivated to action until they had the message explained to them 5, 6, 7, or even 10 times. So people need to hear it again and again. Now, before we continue, let's take another break with music, and when I come back, I will continue giving you tips on how to avoid genetically modified foods.
Waiting in the dark below. Waiting.
And welcome back to the Natural Health and Wellness Service, Sonia. Today's topic is GMOs and genetically modified foods. October is non-GMO month, and I have given you a lot of important information about genetically engineered foods in today's segment. This month, the Institute for Responsible Technology is launching a plan to bring the message to the necessary number of people to create a tipping point that can effectively drive genetically modified foods off the market. Nearly 400 retail stores selling natural products around the country are already actively promoting the information about choosing healthier non-GMO products. And I'm thrilled to be part of this movement, and I strongly urge you to join this national movement. The Institute for Responsible Technology has created a variety of tools that will make it easier for you to choose non-GMO foods, and this is the way to eradicate GMOs from your local store. If no one wants to buy them, stores can sell them, and they will simply stop ordering them. Food manufacturers will have to adjust and quickly change the ingredients or risk losing their business. It's really that simple. As I mentioned earlier, Europe was able to do this over a decade ago without any government assistance. All they did was educate the consumers, and that was enough pressure on the food industry to drop their ploys. Remember, you as a consumer are still at the top of the food chain. I already gave you access to some effective tools such as the non-GMOshoppingguide.com website, as well as geneticroulette.com. This website will also provide you with detailed information on the dangers these foods pose to our health and environment, and will also give you tips on how to avoid them. The first tip that I mentioned was to buy organic, because organic standards do not allow the use of genetically modified inputs. However, if the term organic is only in the list of ingredients and not found anywhere else on the package, then there is no required overall percentage for organic ingredients in the product, and any non-organic ingredients may be GMO. The second tip is to look for non-GMO labels. Companies may voluntarily label products as non-GMO, and some labels state non-GMO, while others spell out made without genetically modified ingredients. And some products limit the claim to only one particular at-risk ingredient, such as soy or corn or whatever, listing it as non-GMO. Now, the third tip I want to give you is to avoid at-risk ingredients. The 7 genetically modified crops, soy, corn, cottonseed, canola, Hawaiian papaya, and a small amount of zucchini and yellow crookneck squash, look just like the non-GMO counterparts, and you really can't see a difference by looking at them. However, novel products such as seedless watermelons, pear and apple combos, and tangelos are products of natural breeding and are not genetically engineered. Most genetically modified ingredients eaten by U.S. consumers are in the form of products made from corn and soybeans used in processed foods. Perhaps 90% of all non-organic processed foods contain at least some small contribution from soy or corn, or perhaps some cooking oil from cottonseed or canola. And I want you to go to the following website, responsibletechnology.org, for a long list of derivatives. And shopping with that in your hand will help you navigate around the genetically modified organisms or GMOs. Tip number 4 is to use non-GMO shopping guides. And the so-called True Food Guide offers non-GMO brand choices, and all you have to do is you access the following website. It's truefoodnow.org, all one word, and you can actually download a safe shopping list. And the guide has also been reproduced as an insert in the back of the book. The book is titled Your Right to Know by Andrew Kimbrell, and this book is available at seedsofdeception.com. Now, before I go in more detail about genetically modified crops and which products to look out for, let's take a short break with music, and I'll be back in a moment, and we'll give you a rundown on genetically modified crops in the US and Canada. Welcome back to the Natural Health and Wellness Service, Sonia. Today's topic is GMOs and genetically modified foods. And I talked in detail about the many dangers these foods pose to our health environment. And I also gave you some valuable tools and tips on how to avoid these foods, such as buying organic foods, because organic standards do not allow the use of genetically modified inputs. Also, look for non-GMO labels, but especially avoid at-risk ingredients. 89% of soy crops in the United States and Canada are genetically modified. Soy is used as soy lecithin in chocolates. Breads use soy flour. Shakes use soy protein concentrate. Formulas use soy milk, and vegetable oils use soy oil. There again, make sure you use organic products to avoid GMOs in these particular foods. 61% of all corn crops are genetically modified in the United States and Canada. So avoid high fructose corn syrup, which should be avoided for a lot of other health reasons anyway. And it is found in sodas, cereals, cookies, candy, salad dressings, spaghetti sauces, and thousands of other products. Sauces and baked goods use also cornstarch, dextrose, and maltodextrin. Vegetable oils use corn oil and breads use corn flour. There again, in order to avoid GMOs, make sure you buy products with organic ingredients or those labeled non-GMO corn. Fortunately, there is no genetically modified popcorn on the market, nor is there blue or yellow genetically modified corn at this time. 79% of canola crops are genetically modified, and you can find canola oil in fried and baked products. And 83% of cotton and cottonseed oil are genetically modified in the US and Canada. Chips and fried snacks, as well as Crisco, use cottonseed oil. So just make sure to avoid these foods or buy chips and snacks made with organic cottonseed oil. There are also a lot of other GMOs to look out for, such as the GMO sweetener aspartame. Now, aspartame is created in part by genetically modified microorganisms. It is also referred to as NutraSweet and Equal, and is found in over 6,000 products, including soft drinks, gum, candy, desserts and mixes, yogurt, tabletop sweeteners, and some pharmaceuticals such as vitamins and sugar-free cough drops. So make sure to avoid any products containing this GMO product, which is also a neurotoxin. Especially be careful when it comes to buying animal products. Meat, dairy products, farmed fish and eggs are usually from animals fed genetically modified feed. To avoid them, buy organic, wild-caught, or from 100% grass-fed animals. Especially avoid dairy products from cows injected with genetically modified growth hormones called RBGH or RBST. And you can see the following website. You can go on responsibletechnology.org for brand listings. I also want to point out that honey and bee pollen may have been gathered from genetically modified plants. In fact, a small percentage of the alfalfa in the United States is genetically modified, but plantings were stopped by a court order in 2007. Also, there are many additives, enzymes, flavorings, and processing agents that are used in foods and which are produced by genetically modified bacteria, yeast, or fungi. And to avoid them, either buy organic or stick to non-processed foods. As you can see, there's a whole lot to this, and it becomes overwhelming scanning through ingredient labels, especially in commercial grocery stores. Now, shopping in natural food stores is a whole lot safer and simpler, especially if you opt for organic products. As far as avoiding GMOs in restaurants, make sure you frequent restaurants that cook meals from scratch and don't use packaged processed mixes and sauces that likely have genetically modified ingredients. And for those that cook from scratch, most at-risk ingredients are visible, like corn chips and tortillas, tofu, soy products, and sweet corn. The big exception is vegetable oil, which is probably from soy, corn, cottonseed, or canola. Now, if the restaurant uses one of these, ask whether they can cook your meal in other oils such as olive oil or in butter or without oil at all, and let them know why, so they can learn about GMOs too. Now, before we wrap up today's show, let's listen to another song, and I'll be back shortly.
Thank you.
friends, welcome back to the Natural Health and Wellness Service, Sonia. We are about to wrap up today's show, and today's topic was GMOs and genetically modified and engineered foods since October was declared non-GMO month. Genetic modification is the laboratory process of artificially manipulating or inserting genes into the DNA of food crops or animals. And the result is called a genetically modified organism or GMO. GMOs can be engineered with genes from bacteria, viruses, insects, animals, or even humans. Unlike Europe or most other industrialized countries, the U.S. does not require labeling, and so we are on our own as consumers. And I designated today's segment to educate you about the dangers and empower you with tools and to urge you to join the national movement, because together we can get GMOs banned from the U.S. market. As I mentioned earlier, Europe was able to do it over a decade ago without any government assistance, just by educating the consumers, and that was enough pressure on the food industry to drop their ploys. If we band together as an effective army, we will be able to do this. The vast majority of people in the U.S. do not want genetically modified foods, so it should be an easy battle to win. All we have to do is spread the word and alert our family and friends to be more conscious consumers and for them to spread the word to others. I hope today's show will inspire you to pay closer attention to the foods you are buying and consuming and to make a conscious effort to change your shopping habits in order to avoid GMOs. Remember, we as consumers are in charge. We have the right to decide for ourselves what we consider food and not have it dictated to us by the biotech industry and the enforcement wing in Washington. It is for us to decide, for our families to decide, and it's time we are taking back our food supply. I strongly urge you to please take charge and spread the word, and as a natural food store owner, I will make every effort to ban genetically modified foods in the store and guarantee to offer only safe and healthy products. Thank you so much for listening, and I invite you to join me again next Wednesday for another edition of the Natural Health and Wellness Hour with Sonia. For a list of my services, I ask you to visit my website at elywellness.com, and I also invite you to stop by the Whole Foods pantry on the corner of 2nd Avenue and Chapman Street, which is stocked with organic and healthy food choices such as fresh organic fruits and vegetables, organic meats and dairy products, whole food supplements and concentrates, as well as environmentally friendly products. And if you happen to be in the Virginia area, make sure to visit the Natural Harvest Food Co-op. Thanks again for listening, and remember, let food be your medicine.